All right. Well, great to have you back here. I've been having an awesome time talking through this content. We were talking during the break. We're used to running these as live events, and so it's odd for us to be getting through it this quick. Usually we've got these breaks in there for labs and that kind of stuff. So don't let the fact that we're not taking time for labs through the sessions to stop you from going back and doing those. There's a lot of goodness. You know, we, Bruno and I think both really enjoy both the intro to virtual machines and the cloud service labs. And we've got one coming up at the end of this that's really easy to get through for creating Azure Active Directory domains and then creating a website that authenticates against that. So
this is one of those post-build demos that has been dramatically simplified by the new tooling. It used to be you'd have to add all kinds of classes and inject config file code, and now it's a simple click. So we're kind of excited for that evolution. And by the way, keep the questions flowing in the Q&A window. You know, Brett and I are keenly interested in the types of questions you're asking, so please continue to do that.
All right. So in this module, then, we're going to come back in and talk about Windows Azure Active Directory. So, you know, I started back, you know, my computing career long time ago. I was a Novell NetWare CNE. That was a long time ago.
Nah, you're dating yourself.
but then, you know, I got into NT and NT domains and all that kind of stuff. So I've been pretty heavily invested, you know, from an IT pro perspective sort of thing, you know, in Active Directory and stuff for a long portion of my career. And it's always been this enterprise concept, you know, where a company would go set up an Azure Active Directory, an Active Directory or an old NT domain or whatever, and you start putting into that Active Directory the things that you as an IT manager, you know, manage, your usernames and their passwords, attributes about them, that kind of stuff. As AD came around, we had even the ability to maintain, you know, organizational charts and put OUs and create security in the domain, all that good stuff. But enterprise domains also let me join computers into the domains, and we can build trust relationships between them and all that kind of stuff. So it was always this sort of enterprise concept with Active Directory. And the cool thing with Azure Active Directory is that just like we kind of now have a SQL cloud offering with Azure SQL Database, which is sort of a different flavor of SQL, but it's still SQL in the cloud, we kind of have this different flavor of Active Directory in the cloud. And just like you don't have to install SQL Service on premises or SQL Server on premises to use Azure SQL in the cloud, you don't necessarily have to have an enterprise Active Directory to use Azure Active Directory.
Right.
But if you do have it, there's ways for us to integrate those two together. So Azure Active Directory, I think, is really cool. I was really excited to learn more about this when it came out. And I think it's something you'll be interested in here as a way to authenticate your enterprise users, but also possibly as a way of creating credential stores for new bases of users, even for your own custom applications out there.
This is another one of those scenarios where we've embraced the hybrid scenario where you might have your on-premises Active Directory where you can use, you know, federation and single sign-on, but also have a kind of a contingency plan for those users up in the cloud. So I'm excited. It's very modern. You know, we support all the popular networking logins, you know, Twitter, you know, Google, Yahoo, and so on, live IDs. And so OAuth 2 is part of the protocols that we support. So, you know, multi-factor authentication, there's a lot of real goodness here.
Yep. So in here, we'll come in, we'll talk about what Windows Azure Active Directory is, talk about some of the benefits that we get, the authentication being relatively seamless either in your existing applications or with your existing corporate credentials. We'll talk about various ways of managing identities in Azure, you know, being able to go in and just provision your own, or being able to reference consumer providers, or being able to do directory synchronization with your enterprise domains and pull your existing AD users into the Azure Active Directory scope. And then talk about a variety of options. We have self-service for, you know, SaaS applications and a bunch of other cool stuff that we get out of this.
And there's also the Graph API, so you could even write your own kind of portal for AD administrators where you want to allow them to assign roles and groups and add additional attributes to the authentication process.
Yep. So, all right, so let's dive in here and take a look at, you know, introducing Windows Azure Active Directory or just Azure Active Directory. So getting back to this story, the IaaS versus the PaaS versus the SaaS, right? And we've talked about web and worker roles and virtual machines and all that kind of stuff. And when you start getting out of compute models, I think there's a lot of confusion amongst people is, you know, where do you classify Azure Active Directory? I mean, I think a lot of people think of it as software as a service. I'm getting to use an Azure Active Directory that Microsoft sets up for me, right? But for me, I think of it more as PaaS because it's something more that I'm going to use within my application infrastructures.
And build upon it.
Yeah, and build upon it or something like that. So, you know, this you start getting into these vocabulary wars around this kind of stuff. But I tend to think of the application services like identity and Azure SQL Database and that kind of stuff really more as around the PaaS offering. I'll let you make your own judgment as you go through that.
This is one of those scenarios where I think you want to leverage third-party identity providers. You don't want to be chasing the latest OAuth 2 standard, figuring out how Google ID might be different from a Live ID. You want to just use a service to take care of that grunt work for you.
Yeah, but I will mention there on that slide, you know, software as a service, Office 365 is an offering that Microsoft already has in market. And the way that you as a company then would start to get access for your users into Office 365 is in fact Windows Azure Active Directory. So this was something that was available outside of the Azure scope previously, right? And so if you were an Office 365 customer, you already had an Azure Active Directory set up. That was really where or how you were getting your corporate credentials access to, you know, Outlook.com or, you know, their email and calendaring and all that kind of stuff and SharePoint in the cloud and all that good stuff, right? So all we've really done here is sort of move that exact same Azure Active Directory service into the scope of the Azure portal and the development APIs and sort of just opened up the scope of that in terms of how you use it and access it.
Let's make one thing kind of clear, though. So we're going to talk about Azure Active Directory, but you could also take the full Fidelity Active Directory and host it in a VM yourself in mm-hmm. the cloud. So just like you can run full Fidelity SQL Server in a VM, or you can use SQL Database Services, the same thing, the same kind of parallel exists with Active Directory.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, we had a slide earlier looking at using IaaS VMs for disaster recovery. And one of those VMs was a Windows server that we put the domain controller role on or the Active Directory role onto it. And it was just using regular AD replication through a VPN tunnel back to my on-premises AD domains. And that AD domain controller is no different than a regular AD domain controller on-premises, right? The Azure Active Directory we're talking about is a different flavor of Active Directory, and it's being managed for me and hosted by Azure. And I'm not having to set that VM up and all that kind of stuff. But again, I'm losing some of the configuration and control that I would have if it were a full version of AD.
And it's kind of a copy, right? So if I want a single sign-on scenario, I want to use, you know, Active Directory Federation to enable single sign-on.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a few limitations, but in general, it's a definite complement to what we already have.
Yeah. So we'll dig into that here, right? So with Windows Azure Active Directory, actually, that's kind of a repeat of the same stuff there. So let's dive in here, right? So thinking of Windows Azure Active Directory in the cloud, well, outside of the cloud, we might have other services like Office 365, or maybe even your own custom applications that you'd like to leverage authentication, you know, from a credential store or something like that. You could have, of course, on-premises Active Directory in your own data centers. You might have third-party providers for identity and or possibly mobile applications and various devices out there in the wild. So that's kind of the ecosystem out there. And we can start to tie those things together using Windows Azure Active Directory. So I can go spin up a Windows Azure AD domain, or really call it a directory, and into that I can start to put various user accounts and that kind of stuff. Well, if you think of that, you're an IT manager, you say, well, I already have Active Directory on premises. I've already got user accounts and passwords in AD, you know, on my domain controllers running inside my organization. I don't want to go re-enter, you know, those user accounts again and up in AD or Windows Azure Active Directory. So we give you a tool called DirSync that's going to give you a way to synchronize your Azure Active Directory accounts in some form or fashion. We'll talk about some differences there, up into Azure Active Directory, so that those identities are now available to be referenced from applications that authenticate against Azure AD then. And then we can use those credentials to access cloud-based assets like Office 365 or your own custom line of business applications or even third-party applications and PC devices and all that good stuff out there.
So that alone, if you think about all the third-party applications, I think there's over 1,000 of them now.
Tons of them.
That we directly support so that you don't have to go set up that relationship with the sales forces of the world and so mm-hmm. on. It's kind of baked in to the offering.
Yeah, the piping of the relationship has been managed by us. All you have to do is wire that piping up.
Yep. Exactly.
So with Windows Azure Active Directory, we give you a way to create a central data store of identity that you could consume from a variety of applications, your own apps, third-party apps, mobile apps, whatever. You get a variety of tools to manage the identities. I talked about DirSync. You can also import accounts. You can manually enter accounts. There's a number of ways. Bruno mentioned that we have APIs. So there's the Windows Azure Directory library that we can use to be able to write code against these. And if the credentials that we're using or running that code under have the right permissions, we can read and even write to that directory there programmatically if we choose to. Of course, we've got monitoring and reporting tools that are available there. And then once we wire up those third-party applications, we also have ways to allow users to use things like single sign-on to gain access to those applications.
And we even support multi-factor authentication if you need to go that extra mile to validate someone's identity.
Yep. So think of that one directory for many applications. Let's say I set up Windows Azure Active Directory in the cloud. I've got AD domains running down on-prem. I sync up my user accounts one way or the other. And I'm now then able to go in and use popular third-party apps, you know, Salesforce or something else like that, Dropbox, Business, whatever it is that I want to use. And I can leverage those Active Directory credentials rather than making a user go to Salesforce and create a Salesforce credential.
Right.
They can use an organizational credential they already have to access that subscription over there in Salesforce, right? So it's not that we're not paying for Salesforce. We're still going to have that billing relationship and the business relationship. We're just saying we want to authenticate with our own existing credentials. And in the past, if you wanted to do that, I would have had to do something like set up ADFS and work with Salesforce to point Salesforce at my domain. And you go, okay, cool. We got that working. And now somebody says, great, we want to do the same thing with Dropbox for Business. Oh, man, now I got to go wire that up for them. Right? And so what Azure Active Directory is they say, look, we've already wired it all up. Just get your credentials into your Azure Active Directory, set up the relationship, and you're done.
It goes back to what you asked me at the beginning. You know, what do you think about the cloud? What's the value to you? And this is a great example. I just want to innovate. I want to create this app that leverages other applications, and I don't want to bother with trying to set up all these relationships by hand.
Yeah, and because they've done that for you, they're keeping that repetitive step. That's the other thing. I don't want to have to keep doing the same thing over and over again. Give me a way to do it once and then leverage a number of resources.
And if Salesforce augments or changes the way they do identity, you get to get the ride along for free.
Yep, indeed. So, and then of course you can easily create your own custom applications. We'll demo that coming up here. You know, that's the lab, in fact, is just creating a website that authenticates against the accounts that you have up in Azure Active Directory. So that's pretty cool. So once you're then authenticated, once you have your directory, so you've got this on-prem Active Directory, assuming you do, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, but you already have AD on-premises, you say we've already got our user accounts and passwords. How do we get them up into this Azure Active Directory domain that we've created? And you have a couple of choices. There's a tool that you'll use called DirSync. So you're going to install DirSync on one of your domain controllers. And DirSync's role is there to just periodically pull, right? And it's actually relatively short term. It's not real time, but relatively rapidly. It's going to watch your Active Directory domain for changes. And as those changes occur, it'll push them up into your Azure Active Directory for you. So it's just constantly synchronizing. Your on-premises AD is the source, and it will always push to Azure Active Directory. So as an IT manager, you continue to manage your user accounts exactly the same way you did before. You just manage them in your on-prem AD domains. And then as DirSync happens, any changes, if you delete account, you disable an account, the password changes, whatever, DirSync's going to push those up to you. So then the question of passwords comes up, right? I could just push my identities up into the cloud, but not the actual passwords that can be used to authenticate those identities. Or you could say, I want to go ahead and push the identity and a hash of the password. I'm not going to send the raw password. We send a hash of the password up there. The benefit of doing that, though, is that now Azure Active Directory has all the information it needs in and of itself to service incoming authentication requests. So let's say I have a mobile application that uses Azure Active Directory for authentication. The user types in their username and password. It goes and authenticates against Azure Active Directory. It doesn't have to go back to my on-premises domains or anything like that to complete that authentication request, which means my connection could even be down. My users could still continue to authenticate against Azure Active Directory in that case. Some people may have a concern, though, about putting password hashes of your credentials up in the cloud, right? And so if that's the case, then you may choose instead to do dir/sync still, but you only push up the user identities. You don't push up the password hashes. And so now in that case, as a request for authentication comes into Azure Active Directory, it goes, oh, yeah, I see, I know who you are, but I don't know how to authenticate you. And it's going to have to forward that authentication back to an endpoint that you maintain using ADFS, or Active Directory Federation Services. And so Azure Active Directory will go back and talk to ADFS and say, hey, authenticate this user for me. And it's actually ADFS authenticating against your on-premises AD domain that completes that request. Obviously, that's more secure, but I have the downside of having to set up and maintain this ADFS endpoint and that kind of stuff.
Right? But it's just a simple setting, right? So I'm not programmatically having to alter my applications.
Yeah, it doesn't affect my application at all. Yeah, not at all. But it does affect how I set up and manage and maintain these domains in the authentication process. Now, the other thing you get with this then is that when you do dir/sync with passwords, the account that's in the Azure Active Directory is effectively a coincidental copy of your on-prem credentials, right? It's not the same account. And that means that if I authenticate completely against Windows Azure Active Directory, I'm not going to be able to use that same authentication to access on-premises resources. Because the on-prem resources go, no, you're a different account. You're not the same account.
So for single sign-on, I need to leverage the ADFS endpoint.
Right. So with ADFS, you're always authenticating as your actual AD account. And so there's always only one account. And with that, I get true single sign-on. But so if you want true single sign-on, go with the ADFS route.
If you insisted on having single sign-on, you could set up the full Fidelity Active Directory running in a VM in the cloud.
Yeah, the downside that I have with that, though, is that AD running in the cloud is still assumed to be protected within my management scope, right? I'm not going to be able to easily open up authentication against that with OAuth2 and nice client libraries and all that kind of stuff. Whereas Windows Azure Active Directory is really kind of saying, hey, look, here's this credential store. Please, applications, come access these credentials or let the users of you access these credentials. Whereas AD tends to be more like a, excuse me, I'm an enterprise resource. You don't come in.
Right.
You know?
So there's like this duality. There's the enterprise-y kind of full fidelity ADFS and so on, whereas this new cloud, brave new cloud world we're in, that's what Azure Active Directory is geared towards.
Yep, indeed. So, all right, so cool stuff there. Now, I'll make one other note back there is that, yes, while you can synchronize with Azure, your on-premises Active Directory domains with Azure Active Directory, you don't have to. If you don't have an on-premises AD domain or you just want to create a totally separate credential store for some other reason. We were talking at the event we ran yesterday. One of the guys says, hey, could I use Azure Active Directory as a way of kind of like creating a totally separate like demo domain?
Right.
Yeah. And so you could definitely do that. You could just go spin up a domain in there, put some user accounts and passwords, and you don't have to go ask IT to spin up a domain for you. To actually go do that. So that's really cool, right? So when you do that, then you now have this directory in the portal. So let me jump back over to my portal here. And if I scroll down over here on the left-hand side, you'll notice that there's this Active Directory node. And every Azure subscription will have a directory associated with it. And so that's a directory that you can use to just go in and start managing your own accounts and things like that. Now, if you're coming in, depending on how you got signed into Azure, if you're coming in with an account that's already organizational, you'll actually see the common organizational domain. But if you're a regular MSDN subscriber just signing in with a Microsoft account, you'll have a directory that's yours, right? And that's just unique to you, right? So I can see that I have one here. My last name's Statham, so it took out of my metadata from my account my name and sort of created me an on-the-fly domain here named after that. And if I drill into that, you'll notice that inside that directory, I have the ability to come in and create my own user accounts. So I can just down here at the bottom, add a user. And when I do that, I can create a brand new credential for a user inside my organization, this stateham.onmicrosoft.com domain. And so that's the name that it provisioned for this directory when it created it for me on the fly. I could also, however, reference other Microsoft accounts. So I could actually add a Microsoft account as having credential or access to resources that authenticate against my AD domain. Or you can also reference users from other AD domains in your subscription there. But so I could come up here and let's just call this, you know, my MVA user at stateham.onmicrosoft.com or something like that. As I next on through that, I get to give this guy a name, MVA user. And so notice these are attributes, just like an AD on premises. You know, you have attributes for your accounts. What's their first name? What's their last name? What's their manager? And all that good stuff here. And I'll just...
Now, this is kind of manual, Brett. Is there, would there be a way for me to automate this? Is that what the Graph API is all about?
Yeah, you could definitely programmatically do it with the Azure Active Directory libraries, or you could import, or you could use DirSync. Right, so those are other ways that you can get those in. When I create a user, I also have some idea of what kind of user is this. Is it just a regular user? We have global administrator, and just recently added were these other billing administrators, service administrators, the ability to manage other users, et cetera there. I'm gonna go ahead and make this guy be a global administrator. And the reason why is the demo I'm gonna use later needs an account that is a global admin in order to set up an application relationship with Azure Active Directory. So I'm going to go ahead now and make this guy be a global administrator. And since it is, it needs to have a separate email address that it can talk to. And I'll just give it my Microsoft email here. Now, Bruno also mentioned multi-factor authentication. I could turn that on. I'll come back and talk about that. But it would mean that as the user authenticates, not only do they have to enter a valid password, but they also have to have their phone handy so we can send a code to them over text. And then they've got to type the code in as part of that. So it's not only do you have to have the password, but you also have to have the phone. So I've got those two forms of authentication happening there. I'm not going to enable that here. I'll go on to next and says, okay, we're ready to create your user, but we're going to automatically provision that user with a temporary password. So I'll say, go for it, create the password and the user. And it gives me this temporary password. I'm going to want to go ahead and copy that to the clipboard. And just so I don't accidentally mess up, let me go stick it in a notepad as well. So I've got that. And then I could also have it email it to me and I'd get a nice email with the temporary password in it, et cetera. Cool. So that user now exists. There's my MVA user. I haven't actually logged into it, so that temporary password is still there. It's not until the first time that this user logs in that they're going to have the opportunity to actually go set their temporary password. So I'm going to try and do that right now.
That's pretty typical, actually.
Yep. So I'm going to go in here and open up a separate browser session. This is an in private browsing session. And I just need to go to some web product or some web property that knows how to authenticate against Azure Active Directory. Well, the Azure portal does. So I'll just use that as my way of sort of showing that I can recognize this account. I never gave this guy permissions to anything. So even if he signs into the portal with the right password, it's going to go, oh, we don't know who you are. You don't have anything. Well, we know who you are, but you don't have anything.
So right? This goes back to that point about these third-party applications that are kind of automatically, you know, green carpeted in, red carpeted into the app.
Yeah. So, yeah, the setting up that application relationship there. So anyhow, so here I am. I'm now coming in as some anonymous user into the portal and says, you need to give me a credential I recognize. And so I'm going to give it that MVA user at stateham.onmicrosoft.com. Right? That was the account that I created. Notice, I'm sure some of you are saying, wait, do I have to use .onmicrosoft.com? Well, that's the name you get initially, but yes, you can wire up custom domain names to these as well. So you can have user accounts that are, you know, my user at mycompany.com type formats if you want to. But I'm going to go ahead and continue that. And it goes, okay, what's the password? And now I need that temporary password. So I'm going to go ahead and put that in there. And it's going to go look and go, oh, yeah, we know what the stateham.onmicrosoft.com domain is. We'll go find that MVA user, validate the temporary password, and then realize that they're supposed to change their password. And go, okay, hey, MVA user, your password was temporary. You've got to give us a new one. So I'll paste in the old one and then get a good new one here. Verify they match and hit submit. And so now MVA user has successfully changed their password, assuming I typed that in correctly. And now it's going to make me log in with that password. And so now I'm doing this. I've got my temporary password reset. I'm logging in as this new credential into the management portal. This is a brand new guy. I never gave him an Azure subscription. And Azure goes, yeah, we know who you are, but you don't have an Azure subscription. Go pay us. You know, we'll set you up with an Azure subscription there, right? So the point is, though, is that I was able to authenticate as that user. It's now a recognized identity. Authorization's the next step. And so Azure's saying, yes, you are authenticated. We know who you are. You have no authority to get into the portal right now.
But that could have just have been Salesforce or Dropbox.
Exactly. Yep. So, all right. So now that I've got that in place, could I actually give this account permissions to my subscription and let it manage my Azure resources? And actually, the answer is yes. Let me minimize that window. I'm going to go back to my original portal here. And when I go back to Azure, and this is something kind of cool, Azure subscriptions support this idea of administrators. So I can actually go add this guy in. I'm going to add in another user here, and I'm going to give it permissions to manage this subscription. And I'm going to go, oh, actually, which subscription am I in? Let me change subscriptions here really quick. Point at a different subscription, my MSDN one. Has that stadium domain. All right, so down here under manage, or administrators, I'm going to come in here and add. And remember that I'm going to give this person access to this subscription. And it was that NVA user at stateham.onmicrosoft.com. And go ahead and say OK. And so now I've said, hey, yes, that user can manage my subscription for me. And if I go back over to that other window that I had and I try to sign in again, actually, can I just refresh? Let me go back. We'll just manage. Try that one more time. Boom. And now it goes, oh, yes, we recognize you. And now, yes, in fact, you are authorized. In fact, you get permissions to come in and manage this other subscription that you were given access to. That's pretty cool. Right. So that was sort of looking at the management portal as the app. You know, I've got this user. I wanted to give them access to the management portal. That could have been, I've got this user. I want to give them access to my custom application. That could have been, I've got this user. I'm trying to give them access to Salesforce. All right, that same process.
And this plays into some of that early discussions about how do you manage subscriptions with Azure? How do you segregate users? So it's kind of all allows you to facilitate that relationship.
Yeah, definitely. If you think of that from a development manager perspective, without Azure Active Directory, I've got, you know, these developers that I'm paying for MSDN subscriptions for. And as they sign, you know, they come to the company the first day of job, their job, and I say, okay, you've got an MSDN subscription. You've got to go make a Microsoft account and sign into your MSDN subscription with this Microsoft account thing, right? But now that Microsoft account belongs to my user, and that means, I mean, to the person with that account. As they leave, they've still got that account, right? So it would be kind of cool if I could instead say, hey, here's your company credential. When you sign in with your company credential and access your MSDN subscription that way. And so now as that developer leaves for a better job somewhere else, all I have to do in AD is disable that account and they can no longer access the MSDN subscription that the previous employer was paying for. Right? So it gives me some nice ways of managing those sort of assets that are running up in Azure.
And to give you, let's switch over to my box real quick. To give you some idea about what's possible, let's say I have a directory here called Bruno Directory, and I want to associate these applications. I can go over here to Applications and say add either an application that my company is adding or this list of pre-approved. And you can see here there's quite a few applications that you just get red carpeted right into. So it's another example of taking away the grunt work. You are not going to take the time to set up the relationships with all these different vendors and companies.
Yep.
So 1,375 of them to be exact.
Awesome sauce. Cool. All right, so let me jump back over here. I showed you that I can jump into that. I can manage my user accounts and all that good stuff, create accounts. For DirSynced accounts, though, you don't edit those in the portal. You edit those on premises. You open up your good old Active Directory users and computers. You manage them the way that you're used to, whatever. And when DirSync happens, any changes that you made are going to get synchronized back up to the cloud. So with DirSynced accounts, the on-prem accounts are the source, and the Azure Active Directory accounts are just the copy of that, right? So and then once they exist, though, those credentials are now available to be used with any other applications that Azure Active Directory recognizes, like your own custom line of business apps or third-party apps and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, we've got ways to monitor this stuff. We've got built-in reporting, built-in security around these guys. And in fact, you saw when I created my user, I had, is this person just a regular user? Are they an administrator? And in fact, we now have some more granularity. Are they billing administrators, service administrators, user administrators? So what can they do in the directory itself? So that's getting broader. If somebody was just a user, they might have permissions to read data, but they're not going to have permissions to write data.
Right.
If they're a global administrator, meaning data into the directory, you know, who can create other users, right? Initially, just global admins now.
Right. Good.
But now we also have user admins, people, other users who have the permission to create other users,
right?
Within the directory itself. So there's a permission structure inside the directory itself. But we also have monitoring, being able to track when users are coming in and failing to authenticate, maybe failing to authenticate 3 or 4 or 5 times, and then magically authenticating, you know, maybe somebody's trying to guess a password.
Exactly.
Or something like that, so we can watch for those types of things. And then the other thing Bruno mentioned was this multi-factor authentication. You know, I have a user signed in from their desktop, and then, you know, immediately they sign in from another machine. It just feels kind of weird. You know, why are you coming in from 2 different machines and 2 different parts of the world or something like that? And so that can be a little iffy. And so rather than sort of leave it up to question, is this the right user? We know that user has a specific phone on a specific phone number.
Right.
Right. And so we can do multi-factor authentication by sending them a code, you know, say over SMS to their phone. They've got to get that code off their phone and then type it back into the authentication dialog to complete that. So I know not only do they know the credentials, but they actually are the user with the phone. Right. So I was able to validate that. All right. So, yeah, the phone box. Woohoo. So, and then as we mentioned again, the ability to tie in with all these great third-party applications and have ways for users then to access those applications using single sign-on from their own own devices out there. So let me jump over here. I'm going to stop walking through that slide there. So I've got Visual Studio over here. Let's see if this demo works better for me this time. I'm going to do File, New Project. And remember, I've already got this directory. I'll bring up one other point here. Close that window. You can create new directories. So I can come into my Active Directory page here and just hit Add. And I have the opportunity to create a new directory or to point to a directory that I already know about. But if I create a new one, you know, Brett's cool, you know, Windows Azure Active Directory, you know, Dir or something like that. I'm going to create a domain name here, you know, and usually, let's say it's going to be the same name here or something like that. Once you create this, as it stands right now, you don't have any way to delete that. And it's because it's a risk. You know, what if you put a bunch of credentials in there and then you accidentally deleted it, right? So they're trying to figure out sort of the management lifecycle around deleting these Active Directory domains. As it stands right now, you can't delete them. So if you're in playing around as a dev, you go, oh, this sounds cool, let me play with it. As you create those domain names, if you're truly just playing around, make sure that your domain names reflect that. You know, don't use, you know, your actual company name or something like that, because you're not going to be able to delete it and then have somebody else use it later on. So, of course, you can follow up with support if you run into an issue.
You could remap your own domain, of course.
And you can rename it and map, yeah, your official corporate domains, but the .onmicrosoft.com
right.
one right now, we don't have an easy way to rename or delete those guys. So just use caution as you create them and don't go crazy. And in fact, in the lab, sometimes they'll tell you to come create a new directory. You don't have to. If you don't want a whole new directory, you can just go into your existing directory and add new users right in there, and then you can always come back in and delete those users later.
Right. Right?
So again, hopefully that story will improve over time. But for now, just be cautious about going crazy and creating a bunch of domains for no reason. But I've got this NVA user, and when I created it, I was careful to make it a global administrator, right? So I know that it's going to have permissions to write data into my Azure Active Directory for me. Back over in Visual Studio, then I want to go create a web application, right? So I'm going to call it my Wild Web App, something like that, and it's going to be an ASP.NET web application, and I say okay. And save up my old stuff there.
This is brand new. So prior to Bill, there was a completely different methodology to do this.
But I've got MVC here. I'm going to do you could do web forms, whatever. I'm going to do just MVC. And if I hit OK, I'm good to go. But notice there's this change authentication button over here. And if I click on to change authentication, I've got some choices about how I want this website to do authentication, right? So if you're ASP.NET devs out there, I manage, if you've been doing ASP.NET for some amount of time, you've probably played around with forms authentication and maybe the ASP.NET membership database and membership providers and all that kind of stuff. And that gave you a way to go create your own database of users and passwords and all that kind of stuff. But we're saying, I don't want to make that database. I want to leverage this Azure Active Directory database of usernames and passwords, right? And so I want to use organizational accounts that come from the cloud. And you could do single organization or multiple organizations if you wanted them. If this were a multi-tenanted application where you had directory integration relationships with your customers, you might want to do multiple organizations or authenticate against AD on the domain, I mean on-premises. But I'm going to do cloud single organization. And now I have to tell it what the name of that domain was. And that was stateham.onmicrosoft.com. And it says, okay, what permissions does this application need? If the application just needs to authenticate, then all we need is sign on. If it needs to be able to read, Bruno mentioned the Graph API, additional attributes out of that directory, then I'm going to want to make sure to give it permissions to read the directory data. And in this case, I'm actually giving the application the permission, right, to be able to go in and do that based on the user saying, yes, let this happen. And then finally, can the application actually write data into the directory? Do we want to open that gate for the app to be able to actually write data? I don't need those in this sample. I'm just going to say, just give me single sign-on. For other options down here, there's an app URI that gets set up. This is really part of the registration information. And what this GUI is doing here for me is what I would have been doing manually if I'd gone back into the portal, into the applications tab, and Bruno showed you earlier hitting add. Rather than adding a third-party one, this is where I'd be adding an organizational app. The Visual Studio is doing this for me, so I don't have to go do the portal piece of that. I'm letting Visual Studio take care of it on my behalf.
And also, by the way, this will go into your web config and do a bunch of modifications there as well.
So I'm done here, but when I hit OK, it says, wait, you know, do you have permissions as an application to be able to talk to the directory? So it's going to ask me to provide it with an existing account in that domain that is a global administrator, and here's the catch. It can't be the original Microsoft account that you use on that subscription. Make sure that before you do that, before you walk through that lab, you first go in and provision another user who is a global administrator and log in as that user as you set this stuff up. So I'm gonna come back in here and I'll use that MVA user. And the password that I set up for it. And because I made it a global administrator, it has permissions to create this application relationship. So I'll hit sign in and keep my fingers crossed here. And if everything worked out after a few seconds and it does all the wire up, that GUI will disappear. There it goes. Cool. And now we've wired that all up. And if I say OK. It told me it's going to create an Azure website. I didn't really want it to do that, but there was another button back there in that file new project.
If you wanted over to here, deploy this.
To let it actually create an Azure website that I'm automatically going to deploy that up to. So that's cool. I kind of wish that checkbox was off by default for demos at least. But I'll go ahead and just say, yeah, that all looks good. That's fine. And I got to pick a region. I'll just say West US and hit OK. So this is now actually also provisioning for me. Oh, an Azure website. We didn't really talk about websites in these sessions here today, but it's provisioning a website, and then if I choose to deploy, it'll actually help me publish it right up to that website for me. In fact, it is creating the site right now. So, all right, with that said then, let me just come down here and run this.
You know, you can't really appreciate how great this is until you struggle with the old ways
doing of doing it all manually. Yes. Yeah, just to have this stuff all wired up. So the first time I run this is, okay, for this auth stuff, you need an SSL. We're going to just give you a little dev cert. Do you want to use it? Yes. Do you want to trust the authority? I'll say yes and install the certificate, and I'm good to go. And it tells me the app can't be. I love demos. Try it one more time. All right, then let's deploy it.
Well, this is good. We sneak in the demo for Azure websites. Why not?
Make sure this guy's published.
The nice thing about Azure websites, once you publish, the site comes up almost immediately. So
I just spun this Debian up this morning and didn't have a chance to prep the labs ahead of time, make sure they worked. So fingers crossed this will spin up here for me.
Yeah, we just can't plug in our own laptops here in the studio. We've got to leverage external resources.
I'll let this guy jit here for a second. Now, by the way, what I walked through is effectively, ratcha frattin'. Gotta love live demos. Okay, let me try it one more time here.
So in this scenario, this is just a simple web app where the user's gonna log in, they're gonna get their identity into the app. This app does not have permission to do all kinds of wacky stuff like going in and modifying the directory. So that might be the scenario where you want to set up your own portal. Yep, well, I get it. That's just the way demos work.
Yep. Well, so what I should have seen there, and I apologize for that failing there, is that as that site came up, it would have just automatically directed me right off to that same authentication that you saw when I went into the Azure portal, and you sign in as a user account that's valid within that Azure Active Directory domain. In my case, that's stadium.onmicrosoft.com. And once I've gone through that authentication piece, it'll walk me through that. And in fact, as I said, even though my demo failed there, so shame on me for that.
We can cut over to me. I've got the lab that I created, by the way. This is the lab that we both created, actually. You can see we walk you through every single step. And ultimately, this is what you would have wanted to see, that the ASP.NET app comes up and you see the identity of the person that logged in. So you would have been forced to log in. And once the app is up and running, you would have seen the user here in the red box. So we walk you through the hands-on lab, which is pretty much the next step here, is walking you through step-by-step the entire process. This lab is, I would say, 10% of the size that it used to be prior to build. So when we rewrote this, we were just shocked at how much easier it was. So that's, I think that kind of concludes this lab. You know, remember, we're sitting here, the SOAP is kind of like out of the picture here. WS Star is still relevant, but, you know, in the new modern world, it's about OAuth 2. You know, SAML tokens are kind of giving way to also OAuth 2. So this is a much more modern, kind of timely way to do authentication. Okay, well, do we have some closing thoughts?
Yeah, let me jump back over here. So again, despite my failure, it really is that simple. And what you see there is a demo gremlin, and really shame on me for not having prepped that or just walked through that ahead of time. There's some glitch somewhere that I missed that's just preventing that from happening inside my Azure VM. But it works. And as you walk through that lab, you'll actually see it's about as simple as I went through there. So
exactly.
So again, blame that result on me, not on Azure Active Directory or on Visual Studio. That was my fault there. So
we've demoed this how many times now in front of live audiences?
While I'm demoing, that's when they fail. So a demo happens. So, but with that, hopefully you see sort of what the promise of Azure Active Directory is. You saw me go in and just create an account. It had nothing to do with a user anywhere else. So you can definitely provision your own accounts. It's a great way to think about, you know, as we were saying, setting up just a data store of your own credentials that has nothing to do with anything anywhere else, and then starting to build applications that consume those credentials. But along with that, we also had the ability to take existing credentials from your on-premises AD domains using DirSync either with passwords or without passwords and ADFS to get full single sign-on, and then the ability to go in and create applications that can consume those credentials and authenticate users based on that. And then from that, then we also get role-based authentication. You know, I didn't show you, but back in the portal, along with users, I don't have it up right now, there's also a groups. So we can start to create a groups node and actually put users in that. And then we can use the Graph API to ask, hey, is the user part of this group? And start to get even, you know, application level, you know, authorization type stuff built into our applications out there.
If I might show my screen real quick, notice that at build, Vittorio has a couple talks here about identity. This is probably the next best place to look to learn more about this. Look how recent these dates are, April 3rd, 2014. So in my backyard in San Francisco, we had build, and you can see that there's some great identity talks here that dives even deeper than we did here today. I would argue this is the next best place to go look to learn more about directory services.
All right. Well, and with that, that wraps it up for the day. Hopefully you got sort of a good picture of various ways that you have of creating code to execute up in Azure, right? We talked about IaaS and virtual machines and really just having sort of the exact same sort of compute model that you're used to having on premises with physical or virtual machines. But then really looking at PaaS and web roles and worker roles and being able to take advantage of that data center, make the data center do some work for you. Why do you want to manage the VMs? Let it do it for you.
Yeah, we got into storage. We talked a little bit about databases. We talked about a little bit about networking. I think you've got all the tools here to really run with this and take it to the next level and start experimenting. So those hands-on labs that we've rewritten a few times now to kind of be up to date, that is probably the next best thing you can go do is just get the hands-on experience.
Yep. Walk through those, and as my own demo proves, labs will fail.
Right.
And I my favorite saying is there's no better way to learn than to fix a broken lab.
And so. If you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough.
Yep, that's right. So go in, push them, have fun with them, learn them, try different things than what the lab says, but use them as a guide to get through that. So remember also that we're going to be back here tomorrow. So we have another set of content, another dev camp, kind of more focused on looking at, okay, we know Azure's there. How can we start to take our existing applications, maybe a WPF app that consumes a WCF service that hits SQL on premises, and start to thinking about how could I modernize that app and start to take advantage of Azure, moving the WCF service or the database or both up into Azure, take advantage of new hardware platforms and touch and mobile devices and that kind of stuff to modernize that application. So if somebody walks in with a touch device into a conference room for a meeting, that I have applications that are responsive to just touch and still being able to access that enterprise data. And then getting in and looking at the enhancements that we have in Visual Studio 2013, universal apps and XAML and a whole bunch of good stuff to create sort of modern applications that consume services in Azure.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Also, I want to mention if you're a legitimate startup and you want to get our entire stack for free for 3 years, contact me by email. I'll kind of grandfather you in. I'll kind of validate that you're legitimate, and you'll be up and running in no time.
Dope. Awesome. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, everyone.